Saturday night, March 1st, 1969. This is Bob Avery from the Desert Southwest Art Gallery. And as you can hear in the background, there are mucho people here just enjoying to the fullest extent the works of a one-man show, Mr. Robert Rochelle from Oakland. And fortunately, we have Mr. Robert Rochelle here. Bob, do you mind if I call you Bob?
Not at all. That's good. We have a couple of Bobs.
Right. Bob and I are both in a Rotary Club, and Bob is from Oakland, and he makes up here in Palm Desert every time he's down here at the Desert Southwest Art Gallery. Bob, you've got a whale of a show.
Well, thank you.
36 paintings here?
36 paintings, yes.
And they are absolutely fantastic. Bob, they call you the sunshine painter. I noticed in the newspaper the other day, which is, you shouldn't say that when you're on radio. But somewhere, I don't know where I've heard it, but I have, that you paint looking into the sun. Is this correct?
That's right. I use this primarily to accent highlights of sunlight against patterns of dark, which, of course, give you the feeling of light. You need the pattern. You need dark to show light. If everything was light, you wouldn't have the feeling of light. So by using this method of painting toward the sun, my shadow areas accentuate the light in the painting.
I see. Bob, where did you first take an interest in painting? Where did you get your training and so forth?
Actually, I was interested when I was in about the first grade in grammar school.
Really?
And had received some recognition in second or third grade by having some pictures taken, some of the things that I had done and put in the local newspaper, which was quite a thrill at the time to be recognized at such an early stage in my life. And from there on, my parents gave me a lot of support. They enrolled me in Saturday classes at an art college, which helped me along when I was in junior high school, and then I went on to high school and entered a statewide scholarship program in my senior year in high school and won the statewide scholarship, which carried
California
me on.
Or,
yes,
yeah.
State of California, and this carried me on for 3 years of college at the California College of Arts and Crafts. And I also won a second and third scholarship. One was for being the outstanding student in the college the second year, and the third was the Latham Humane Society contest, international contest, which I was very, very lucky to win. But all of this has been an encouragement to me, something to keep me going, something to keep me striving to improve.
Well, you're a comparatively young man, I guess.
Well, I may look younger than I actually am, but
Bob, when you, let's not go to the age bit. Now, your paintings are so realistic that somebody thinks they can reach out and touch them. I was noticing in the other room that you have a painting just looking at a culvert, of the water coming through a culvert and the rocks on the other end. You could just, you think you could reach your toe out like that and you get your foot wet. Now, what would get you to paint something like this?
Well, when you paint, many people say, well, why don't you go to Yosemite and paint? Or why don't you go to the seashore and do a seascape? Or any number of scenes that are so familiar to people, and they're so beautiful that when you paint them, they look like a postcard.
Uh-huh.
So to paint something that you can really get a mood into and that is something out of the ordinary is the thing that I strive for. It's something that everyone has witnessed, they've all experienced in their life. Perhaps it's a small vignette in their life that has now passed. But when they see this, it brings back memories to them. And a pool that would come out of a culvert under a roadway is something that you might find in wandering through the countryside. But it has a certain amount of quiet, a certain peaceful feeling to it, the stillness of the water and the colors reflecting in it, the sun playing across the rocks. All of these things lend themselves toward making a more interesting composition and final painting.
Well, you also, I have noticed in the past, that let's say 3 years that I have known here of you in the Desert Southwest Art Gallery, have many paintings with horses in them. Are you do you like horses, or well, do you ride horses? Or
I've done some riding, not too much recently. I just haven't had time. But to me, the horse represents a period in American history, and probably there are probably more horses. I've been told this, more horses population, a greater population of horses in the United States now than there were back in the days when there weren't any motor-driven vehicles. Now, this is hard to believe.
Yes, it is.
But the horse is a very, very popular subject. It's a very graceful animal. I very seldom paint them in violent action, but I like to paint them in quiet repose, where they're standing in the shade, head kind of relaxed, and maybe switching their tail to keep the flies off of them. Patterns of sunlight playing across their back, this type of thing that adds a sort of a nostalgia. Lady came in yesterday, had one painted with the haystacks in the background, and she's very interested in horses and has been around them for years. She says, I can smell that painting, and that's the feeling I tried to get in it.
Well, you have one in there this evening that I noticed that of two horses straining their necks for a bucket of apples that have sort of fallen over in a
field. The other side of the stone fence.
Right.
Just a little bit out of reach.
I can remember that when I was a kid, horse's reach for that. It's you can just feel it. Bob, where do you go to do your painting? I know in the past, last year, I believe, you had some paintings here that you had done when you went up Highway 74 here in Farmville, looking down at the valley.
Mm-hmm. I painted up high looking down for a change. I've done so many things in the canyon down here, and of course they've been very popular, and they don't stay in the gallery too long, but you don't like to keep doing the same thing over. In fact, I don't ever do the same thing over again. I'll paint the canyons, but they're ever-changing. You can sit in the canyon for an hour and look at it, and no 5 minutes is it the same. It's continually changing. The light changes, the color changes, the patterns of shadow change. But just the same, if you painted nothing but this type of thing, you'd begin to get stale. So I look for other areas. I go up to the high plateau above here near Anza to get a change of scene. There's a different type of growth. You find different colors, and sometimes looking out over the valley, you step back and you get a different perspective on it. And this, to me, it's like painting portraits. I do paint portraits, and I can get all the commissions I want to do nothing but paint portraits. But this would become rather boring or rather dull, because to do the same thing over and over, as I mentioned a moment ago, would be stifling. That's why I try to paint as many different types of things, the Sierras or the Rocky Mountains, or the coastal plains of California, or the local desert here, or into the rural area, old barnyards, or anything that happens to catch my eye that has the mood that I'm looking for.
Well, tell me, Bob, do you actually sit up there and do them live, or do you take a color photo? Or?
No, unless it's something that is so fleeting and I don't have the time to do the painting, where I want to use a photo to perhaps an interesting cloud pattern or something like that I may be able to use in a painting that needs a certain composition. But the way I really like to work, I like to get out on the spot with my full-size canvas and just get right in and get it started. I get the canvas blocked in with all of the local detail, roughly placed in with a type of shadow pattern and so forth, and then take it back to the studio and put myself into it. There's so much detail and so much local color that I don't care how fine an artist you are, the good Lord put it there, and it's never the same any two places. And if you tried to project yourself into each canvas without going out on the local scene, you'd find pretty soon your rocks would all be the same shape, or the clouds would be pretty much the same. But the fact that there is such a great variety of happenings in nature, in using this, you can only get it from working with nature. But then, to twit the thing in to your painting that makes the painting yours and not some other artist, this is done in the studio, where you project the feeling of atmosphere, the feeling of light, simplify some areas, intensify the detail in others. This type of thing you do in the studio to finish it.
It's just so amazing that your eyes see so much more than mine, Bob.
Well,
I've been up that 74.
I could go to a concert and listen to music, and I would hear a beautiful rendition of a concerto, say. But a man who's trained in music would hear things that I'd never even know were there because he's trained in that. And of course, working out in nature, you train yourself to look for certain things happening. I've had students that say, I'll say, well, look at the warm color on the underside of the rock. Well, I don't see warm color on the underside of the rock. Well, you know when there's sunlight hitting the earth, the warmth of the earth is reflecting back up under the underside and creating this very, very subtle warm glow. And until you really point it out to them, they never see it. But these are things that you've trained your eye to look for. You look for color. You look for the things that are occurring in nature that are natural, so that when you put them in a painting, people may not be conscious of what you've done or what is happening, but it's there and they recognize it.
Was this part of your training going through school?
Well,
to look for these things?
Yes, it was. Perception was a very important thing. When I went to school, the training is different than it is now. I went to school and from 1935 to 38, I got my bachelor's degree. And they hammered drawing, 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 drawing until I wondered after 3.5 years of this, aren't they ever going to let you paint? But they kept saying, this is the important thing, to be able to draw, to understand the basics of all of these things. And now that I look back, it's the best training I ever could possibly have received. I went back in 1951 on the GI Bill to get my master's degree. And the whole concept, the whole approach to painting had changed so radically. They give you paintbrushes and say, well, express yourself. When you don't have the foundation for expression, you never take a medical student and say, here's a scalpel.
Cut somebody up.
Yeah, go out and express yourself. They've got to know anatomy. They've got to know the nervous system. They have to know all of these things as a foundation, a basis, before they can ever begin to think about getting into practicing on their own. And this is the same thing in art. You can go to school, get all the basic ingredients, but you really don't learn or don't start to learn to project yourself until you as an individual get out and approach it as an individual. And you can't try to assimilate Andrew Wyeth, you can't try to assimilate Edward Hopper or any number of Degas or any number of painters that you may appreciate. Because when you do, you become a little so-and-so or a little Degas or a little Renoir or a little Van Gogh.
Yes.
Yeah. You've got to develop your own style and your own feeling and set a goal and keep working for it. And the day you think that you have accomplished this is the day you'd better quit, because the horizon is always just beyond the next hill. You keep striving for it. You keep working for it. And eventually, each painting you approach, you hope that you catch a part of what you are looking for.
Bob, you certainly have caught all what you're looking for and then also what the public is looking for. May I ask you one more question, seeing as how we're in this Coachella Valley and we have many, many amateur artists. Now, would you have a word of advice as to what an amateur artist should do to start out with, what they should look for?
Well, I've given some lectures. I gave a demonstration this last year at the Shadow Mountain Palette Club.
Mm-hmm.
And I've juried hundreds or perhaps thousands of shows. The one thing that always bothers me is the fact that they'll almost always pick the same type of the thing that I mentioned earlier in this interview. The beautiful rolling hills or the mountains that look like a picture post, that look like a picture postcard.
Right.
And
they've got 19,000 guys.
And they all do the same thing.
Right.
It's a beautiful. Now the desert here, there are painters, and you'll see them sitting out in the desert, and they'll paint the wash, and perhaps verbena on some sand dunes, and San Jacinto or San Gregorio in the background, snow capped. It's a lovely picture, but it's a picture, it's not a painting. And it can be a painting. It depends a great deal on the artist. But to look for something that is more than this, something that can tell you more about how rugged the desert can be, what the desert is really all about, finding an infinite detail. I found one subject matter in a little dry wash where water had washed down through this wash one day and coyotes had passed back and forth across it over a period of days. And the first day the mud was rather wet and the imprints were very deep. And here right in the middle of this area, this pathway of coyote tracks, was an old rusty beer can, which was sort of the introduction of man's intrusion in nature. And but this caught my eye immediately. Another spot I found in one of the basins in the dunes up here in La Quinta was where the rain had washed down in this basin of sand and deposited a layer of silt. And the sun came out and dried this silt to where it cracked like you might be looking at the surface of the moon. And out in the middle of this vast area of cracked mud was this one desert daisy poking up through the crack in the mud and playing this interesting shadow across this cracked earth. And if you were oblivious to the fact that you were in the 20th century, you could have been witnessing the birth of this universe in a way. It gave me that feeling, and I immediately had to sketch it and make a painting. These are things that are unusual. These are the things that a student should look for.
Perception very important.
There's so much around a person to see and so much to paint. You can take a single flower and look into the face of this flower and spend an hour studying all the things that are taking place in this infinite little piece of creation. Many people would walk back in that lovely yellow patch of flowers but never really see the flowers. They look at them, they don't see them. And to teach yourself to see, this is the important thing. And there's so much in life that you can gain by doing this.
Oh, golly, yeah. Yeah. Robert Rochelle, thank you so much for talking to us on our KGO microphone.
I'm very happy that you came to the Desert Southwest and gallery and were able to see my show.
We want all our people in our radio audience to come out and see your show because, personally, I think it's fantastic. You are probably we heard you introduced up at Rotary Club the other day as the finest artist in the United States.
Oh, he was being very kind.
Well, I think so, too. Thank
you
very much.
I'm striving for that.
Bob, thank you very much.
and
stay with us for a long time down here. And I'm sure that our people in the radio audience have learned a lesson from what you've talked about, how to look at things.
Oh, very good.
How to paint, to look for the little things and be perceptive.
I appreciate this opportunity to express a few of my feelings anyway.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Robert Rochelle, now showing at the Desert Southwest Art Gallery for the next month, for the entire month of March, let's put it that way, and we certainly hope that anybody who is interested in painting will come by and see these wonderful paintings by Mr. Robert Rochelle.